This is Bevo Bevin with Oil and Gas 360. We're in downtown Denver at the governor's office speaking with Governor John Hickenlooper. Today, Governor, thanks for spending some time with Oil and Gas 360 to talk a little bit about Colorado energy matters.
You bet, Bevo.
Well, thank you. I'll just dive right in. Obviously, Colorado is one of the nation's leading oil and gas states. And as you're more than well aware, the oil and gas industry is in the middle of a significant downturn. With oil prices, you know, cut about 50% from where they were about a year ago. So at $50 oil, companies are rapidly putting the brakes on drilling operations and capital budgets, and, you know, rig counts in Colorado are down by about half. So drawing on your background as previously as an exploration geologist, Governor, who lived through the 1980s, given the cyclical nature of oil and gas industry, what is different about Colorado now and the current oil downturn compared to the oil price dive that put the brakes on development in 1986, for example?
Well, certainly compared to 1986, the overall economy is much more diversified, so I don't think it will have the same impact on the entire state. That being said, if you're a geologist or a petroleum engineer and, you know, your company is drilling a lot fewer wells, then, you know, your job is at risk, and you're certainly not going to get much of a bonus. So we, like many people, hope that the prices moderate eventually. I'm not crazy about seeing them go back up to 110. But, you know, at $75 or $80 a barrel, people can make money. You know, one of the things that's been interesting to me is how aggressive the service companies, like Halliburton and Schlumberger, how aggressive they've been in trying to improve the yield from the existing wells. And I think that's part of the reason you see the rig count is down, and yet most of these companies have not laid off as many employees as you might otherwise expect. And I think that's part of that is the production is holding up due to continuing innovations around hydraulic fracking and, you know, horizontal drilling and all these technology innovations that have kind of created this new oil boom.
Well, you make some good points there. But, you know, eventually everybody's predicting production will start to taper down based
sure.
on the fact that we're not drilling, you know, as much. So what impact do you expect the downturn to have on the state's budget and jobs outlook, say, 2015, 2016, as we kind of get through this cycle?
Well, again, the timing, it depends how long the price stays this low. Some of the larger operators in Colorado, Anadarko and Noble, you know, they've hedged a bunch of their prospective sales looking forward. So even when the price is at 50, they're still getting, let's say, $80 a barrel. But again, that only lasts you probably into 2016, best case. If the price stays around 50 for, you know, well into 2016 or into 2017, then I expect you will see more layoffs, and that will have a more pronounced effect on the overall Colorado economy.
Okay. How does the state expect it would react to anticipated reduction in revenues or, you know, from a downturn like this?
Well, luckily, the overall economy is so diversified in Colorado now that we probably, it will not be the same kinds of draconian changes that we had to make in the 1980s when really a large chunk of the state's revenues disappeared in the space of about a year and a half. What I worry about is I do, you know, all those employees, if the price stays low, all the employers that have had, you know, high-paying jobs, $80,000, $100,000 a year, we got to figure out what they're going to do next. And that's not an easy, you know, there aren't a lot of industries where people without a college degree can make $80,000 a year. But, I mean, it's what it is. The oil and gas industry has always been boom or bust. We've always kind of ridden through these downturns. I'm sure we'll ride through this one.
Okay, very good. What's your view, Governor, of the recently announced BLM fracking regulations on federal lands? You know, Colorado already has some of the strictest rules on oil and gas development in the country. How do you think these new rules from the BLM will impact oil and gas investment in Colorado?
Well, I don't think, if anything, I mean, almost certainly it will slow down oil and gas investment. It complicates an already complicated procedure in terms of applications and getting permitted to drill on BLM land. You know, it's funny, you look over the western states, and whether it's Republican governors or Democratic governors, we've all rigorously improved our regulatory environments. I think we're all pretty similar now. And we've been talking just between the governors, Republicans and Democrats, about why we couldn't have one regional set of regulations in the West. And if we do that, I think that takes a lot of the burden off the BLM. I think if the states can agree, well, we've got, our soles are on the dirt. The soles of our boots are right on the ground. If we can agree among ourselves, then I think we have a stronger case to go back to the BLM and say, you don't need to regulate methane emissions or fugitive emissions of any kind. You don't have to regulate, all these impact assessments that they make. The states are already doing that to a large extent.
That's great. I think the industry would be highly in favor of something like that. That would really...
Well, we've talked to the other governors, and they're supportive of it, and I think the industry will support it. And, we've got just... It obviously is going to take 6 or 8 months to have a staff person. There's an organization called the Western Governors Association. I was the chair of a year ago. And we just need them to hire somebody and find some funding and make sure that they're able to go out there and really, do the work. Make sure that the states really are lined up and that Wyoming and Colorado and Utah and New Mexico, that we all do have pretty much the same rigorous regulations. And in some cases, I mean, some states will have to increase their regulations a little bit. Maybe I don't think anyone's going to lower their regulations, make it less, put more risk to air or water. But, most states will only have to come up a little bit. And I think the overall benefit of having one system of Western state regulation would greatly outweigh the small regulatory changes between states.
Great. Kind of same topic, but a little on the Colorado end of it. Last summer, you appointed the statewide oil and gas task force to study the and make recommendations as to local municipalities imposing regulations on hydraulic fracturing, whether or not to hand over some rulemaking authority to local governments, whereas it's always been in the jurisdiction of the state. Could you talk about the maybe some of the recommendations that came out of that and take us through what do you think are the next steps?
Well, there's a combination. There were about a dozen proposals that came out, and we set a very high bar. We had 21 of the top civic leaders in the state on that task force. And, we had about a third came from the oil and gas industry, about a third came from the environmental community, about a third were just, they didn't have a horse in the fight or in the race. I guess a dog in the fight. And I think that their conclusions, they came up with, about 10 or 12 conclusions that really did begin to give local communities more voice. When drilling is going to take place in suburban areas where there is a lot of housing density, kind of begins to lay out some changes we could make, like forced unitization, right? Make sure that if there are a bunch of different operators all in a community, by having one operator and putting all the tanks in one place, you really can minimize the impact on that residential community. You can kind of have one point of contact where the community knows what to talk to. So I think that those kinds of things, obviously we're going to, one of the recommendations was to take the methane regulations and to make sure that they're codified. They allow in a number of places, communities, local county commissioners or mayors or city council members to have a voice and be able to discuss with an oil and gas company and really make sure that they are drilling in the least obtrusive location possible in terms of the quiet enjoyment that community wants to have in their homes. And I think all those things, having that dialogue, making sure that there are more avenues for dialogue, making sure that the community and the oil and gas companies that are active in that area, that they really talk to each other. Because you can resolve 99% of the problems, the conflicts that we see, just by sitting down at the table.
Well, that definitely makes sense. Governor, what's the what has the state been doing in recent years to kind of strengthen the oil and gas industry relationships here and attract further investment from oil and gas companies?
Well, I think that, again, we're blessed to have a broad array of companies that operate in Colorado. So we've got the large companies like Encana, Noble, Anadarko, WPX. And I would argue that we have some of the most responsible companies. Again, those companies as well as others, Pioneer and PDX. These are companies that recognize they operate with a social contract, right? An understood contract between the operators and the public that they're, you know, that basically they're in partnership with, that they're going to do things as unobtrusively as possible, that they're going to try and make sure that the drilling is quieter, that there's not as much dust, that, you know, that the impact from this activity isn't going to be any worse than it absolutely has to be on these communities. And, you know, the whole question about fugitive emissions and methane escaping, you know, it turned out that there was a lot more than we thought there was. But the oil and gas industry stepped up, and, you know, it's going to cost them $60 or $80 million a year, but our air will be materially cleaner. And I think part of that comes from this. I mean, the industry was willing to step up and say, all right, as long as you don't create a bunch of red tape, as long as you make sure every dollar goes to making sure that, ensuring that the air is cleaner and the water is cleaner, as long as we make sure that we get our fair share of credit because we're the ones who are helping do this, we'll go forward with this. Well, I think that's what the public has every right to expect, and I think really appreciated that we ended up with a press conference with the methane regulators where we had, you know, executives from the largest oil companies and executives from the largest environmental groups both saying this is a good idea. Well, that's the way things are supposed to work.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
Well, I got one final question for you, and I have to ask you because we've a very big oil and gas audience, as you know. You came out earlier in favor of the president's veto on the Keystone pipeline bill earlier this year. What is it about the Keystone XL pipeline that you oppose?
I never opposed it, and that was some of the media misquoted me. What I said was that the president has the right to veto.
Right.
So he has that constitutional authority, and so far the proponents of the pipeline had not convinced him. I'm a big believer that pipelines are less expensive and clearly safer. And I have had discussions with legislators and people in the White House, you know, trying to find a way that the Keystone pipeline would make more sense, that they could be persuaded. One possibility would be that to make sure the gravel that's returned from the oil sands back into the Assiniboine or the various rivers up there that really is clean, what would it cost? An extra buck or a buck and a half a barrel? The oil that comes out is dirtier. There are a lot of people that feel that the emissions coming from burning that oil are more harmful to the environment. Well, what would that cost to make sure that that's done properly? Another $2? I mean, maybe Alberta should put a green tax or something on the oil coming out of there, $3 or $4 a barrel. Certainly the price differential on putting the pipeline in is closer to $10 or $12 a barrel. So obviously when prices are this low, no one wants to have any kind of an increased fee, but maybe there's a way to balance both sides. But I never said that I supported or was against the pipeline. I've always supported pipelines. I did not, basically the pipeline doesn't come through Colorado, and I didn't officially take a stand one way or the other. But on a general basis, I think pipelines make a lot of sense. Again, much less expensive, much safer, cleaner, better for the environment. You know, we support them.
Well, we really appreciate you setting the record straight on that. That's that clears things up for a lot of people.
Sure.
Appreciate that. Well, that's all we have today, Governor. I appreciate your kind of updating us on some of the issues facing Colorado and the oil and gas industry.
You bet, Pipo. My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You bet.